Hallelujah. Well, you know, God wants to move in our lives. And we need to focus on that fact and realize that God wants to move in our lives. But if God's going to move in our lives, we got to be a part of the Holy Spirit moving in demonstration and manifestation in the church. You know, some people don't believe that God will do anything anymore. They don't believe the power of the Holy Spirit or the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. But I don't know about you, but I made up my mind to be a part of the Bible, what the Bible says, and be involved with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Hello, you there? You going home already? Acts 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In this verse, we see this is the recording of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it says, you know, suddenly. Now, it may have been suddenly to them, but it wasn't suddenly to God. The word suddenly used in this verse carries these two ideas. Something you're unaware of, or something happened unexpectedly. Now, throughout the Word of God, we see that God moved many times and suddenly. However, we need to keep in mind that the word suddenly used here is from man's perspective and not God's. It wasn't something unexpected with God. It was unexpected to disciples because they didn't know how he was going to move. You know, sometimes when something happens suddenly, it's a spontaneous, impulsive action, but not from God. From his perspective, the day of Pentecost was simply the next step in the divine plan of God for his people or his man that he had created eons ago. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that God spoke to different ones about this particular thing. You know, in here in verses 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, 'You have heard from me.' And for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from there." Now, after the day of Pentecost had taken place and the Holy Spirit was poured out, what happened seemed to be a suddenly event, but it wasn't. It was well planned out by God. In fact, if you read in the Gospels there, it says Jesus told his disciples that he must go away so that another comforter could come. But Joel spoke about it way back, before the Messiah ever came. He said this in Joel 2:28-29, "And it shall come to pass, after that I pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." Actually, if we really sit down and study the Word of God from the Old Testament through the New Testament. And see, many people don't do this, and they don't put all the connections together, and they just isolate stuff. But the Word of God, you have to go back to the beginning and trace and see God's plan unveiled through all the centuries. So many times we only think in the here and the now, but actually the plan of God has been being fulfilled since the beginning. God made man. He made mankind. He made Adam. He made Eve. And they were walking and talking with God until the devil came in and deceived them. Then God began to devise another plan. His plan that was man would be walk with him and talk with him. But the master plan with God comes through the ages, and we can see it. You know, we sometimes think things are suddenly, but they're not suddenly with God. They're suddenly with us. See, he's bringing forth his plan. Now, let's read Acts 9. Acts 9, 1. Acts 9, 1. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I talk of the church, as I'm talking here, I'm talking about the church, the ecclesia, the entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ that encompasses all of us with our local church. Okay? Now, the church had just started. The day of Pentecost had just been poured out, and several thousand had come to the Lord, and it was in its infant state. Now, the enemy was trying to stop it, just like the devil's always trying to stop God's plan. And we see here, then Paul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from them to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard the voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told you what you must do." Now, you know, here we see that Paul is going to Damascus to wreak havoc upon the church, those that have accepted the Lord. You got to remember that he is the one that stood and held the coats while the people stoned Stephen. And now the church is starting to move forward, and the enemy is trying to destroy it. And so God moves down and takes charge of the situation. He says, "Nothing's going to stop my church." And so he says, "Okay, I'm going to go get the leader of the bunch." And Saul, as he was called then, was the one that was leading that. And so there he was. So God said, "Okay, I'll take charge of this situation." And there Paul came, or Saul, as he was called then. Paul then, instead of being the persecutor of the church, he became the leader of propagating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the known world at that time. But I don't think this was a sudden deal with God. I think God said, okay, my plan's going into work. You know, God always has a plan for his people. He had a plan for Israel. Remember, Pharaoh tried to stop Israel, and God gave Pharaoh, I don't know how many chances to repent and allow the children of Israel to leave Egypt, but he refused. Paul here could have had the choice to refuse, but he chose to repent and accept God's repentance and move with God. When Pharaoh wouldn't repent and let Israel go, okay, God suddenly said, okay, I've had it with you, Pharaoh. You and the death angel came sweeping through the Egypt, and everybody that had the blood applied to their doorpost was saved. And all of us that have had the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to us will be saved. You know, in the end, God's power always wins out. God knows what to do when the right time comes. His divine plan for you, his divine plan for the church will come into existence. Now, let's look at another instance in the life of Paul here. Let's look at this. When Paul accepted Christ, what did the church gain? It gained a great theologian, a great scholar. He wrote half of the New Testament and carried the message, like I said, of salvation throughout the known world. You see, God has a plan. And we need to get involved with the plan and say, all right, hey, I want to be a part of that plan. I want to be a part of the last day revival. Because there is coming a last day revival. God will give people a one last chance. It's in the plan. I want to stay in the plan with the power of God, with the demonstration of God. Today we're coming into the point where so many people are sort of backing off from the demonstration of the power of God. They're sort of backing off from the Holy Spirit, and they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And somebody told me the other day, they said, you know, you still give an altar call at all of your crusades. You still ask for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, that's what it's supposed to be. They said, well, we need to temper a little bit and try to reach some of these people. I said, that's not the way to reach them, by tempering what the Word of God says. The way to reach them is telling them what the Word of God has to say, and that salvation is here for them. And it's in the plan. It was in the plan when God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, arise from the dead, and go and sit at the right hand of the Father. It was in the plan. That was the salvation plan. It was in the plan for the Holy Spirit to come, to be the power of God, to work with man. God realized that if man was going to live above sin, he had to have the power of God with him, not tabernacled in a building. That's where the power of God was, in the temple in Jerusalem. When Jesus died on that cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom. It's about 3 feet thick, 20 feet tall. And he said, no longer will my power dwell in the building, but it will dwell in the human heart. And Paul says, what? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? It is time for us to realize that if we're going to do what God and be a part of the plan of God for the last day, we need to stand up and say, I believe Jesus saves. I believe Jesus fills with the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus is coming again. Acts 16. In Acts 16, we see here the multitude rose up together against Paul and Silas as they were there. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in the prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Here we see God moving suddenly in the lives of Paul and Silas. But I want you to notice something. God moved whenever they were praising him. I want you to notice here that God moved in their lives whenever they had been obedient to the Lord's direction. God moved in their lives when they were praising God in a terrible situation instead of complaining. God moved in their lives suddenly when they stayed in faith toward God no matter what was happening. No matter what it looked like. You know, most people in this situation would have been complaining, well, I thought we was in the will of God, but we must have ought to be, because look where we are. Oh, Silas could have told Paul, said, look, hey, I told you we shouldn't come down here in the first place. Now look at the mess we're in. But no, they began to sing and praises to God in the middle of the worst situation you can think about. They've been beaten. They've been thrown in the innermost prison. That means that's down there. It's way on the inside. When I was working in the comm center in the Army, we had the comm center, but then there was an innermost part of the comm center where all the good secret stuff was. And you had to be privileged and have a certain classification to get in there. Let me tell you something. They were in there. They were locked down. There was no hope of ever getting out of there. But they were singing praises to God anyway. You know, I read a whole book on called The Untapped Power of Praise. I've been talking about praise more recently than I have ever, because God dealt with me the fact that he said people are missing it, not in their believing, but in their praising. We need to praise God more for everything. Over there, you go over there and you read the story when the armies were coming against Jehoshaphat. They told him, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he began to prophesy, and he said, he told exactly where the enemy was, and he told them, he said, get ready, prepare yourself to fight, but you won't need to fight in this battle. I'll fight for you. And when they took off to go toward the enemy, the Lord stopped Jehoshaphat and said to the king, and said, hey, put the singers out in front singing praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. If you want to see the Lord move in your life, begin to praise him more than you've ever praised him before. Just don't let it become a ritual. Let it become a praise that is coming from the heart. I don't imagine Paul and Silas felt like praising God. Not with not being beaten up like they had been beaten and thrown in there. Hey, they didn't. I don't think they felt like praising God, but they were. And when they began to praise God and their faith was strong in God, something began to happen. God will move and rock your jailhouse. just like he rocked that jailhouse. If you'll praise God, in the midst of being locked down and with no hope, God will turn your situation around and your jailhouse will fall apart and you'll see victory just like they did. It may come suddenly as far as we're concerned, but as far as God's concerned, it's not suddenly. It's just an everyday happening. See, they were there in that situation, wondering how in the world are we going to get out of this, but they started praising God anyway. Praise God anyway. You know, every time, and I've said it time and time again, but it's worth saying again, every time we faced a situation when I was growing up, Dad would just say, let's just praise God. It's another opportunity to prove God's word works. Friend, when you come on into difficulty, when you come in circumstances that doesn't look like there's any way out, if you'll begin to praise God and quote the word of God and say, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God will do it again. He's done it once, he'll do it again. He did it for the people in the Old Testament. He did it for the apostles in the New Testament. He did it for the churches in the New Testament. And he did it for the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He did it for Daniel in the lion's den. And he'll do it for me because he's the same God today as he was yesterday. He doesn't change. God wants to move suddenly in our lives if we'll walk out his plan. See, it's time for us to prepare for God to move in our lives. You can't just sit around and say, well, bless me, Lord, help me, Lord. No, you've got to do some things. Acts 2 happened because the disciples obeyed what God told them to do. Jesus actually told them to do. He told them to go and to wait for the promise. He's told us to do what the Bible says to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. You know, thank God for all the benefits that we get. Thank God for the healing. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for all of that. But that is just the icing on the cake if we do what the original thing to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. What things are going to become to us? Just what I talked about. Too many times people are more, they're saying, oh, Lord, bless me. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, give me something else. Listen, let me tell you what. Go out and start getting people saved. And watch what starts happening. Do what the word of God has to say for you to do. When you have the opportunity, I mean, it just don't accost somebody, but when the opportunity arises and somebody begins to talk to you, it's an opportunity for you to tell them about Jesus. Somebody said, I don't know how. Hey, all you got to do is say, hey, when they're talking to you and telling you about their trouble, hey, listen, you know what? I've been in the same problems. I've had some of the same problems you have. But let me tell you about a person that can help you. Let me tell you about somebody that can change your life. Excuse me. And then start telling them about Jesus. You don't have to preach a sermon. Tell them what God has done for you. That's the best way to witness to anybody. To tell them what God has done for you. And I'm going to tell you what, when you start doing that, you can see God start to move suddenly. See, they did what Jesus told them to do. They went there to the upper room. They began to pray and seek God. And they were dwelt in unity. Unity. Look around. Look at all of us that are in here today. Look at all the different colors. Look at all the different ethnic backgrounds. Look at all of us that are from, we're from different generations. But look at all of us in unity as we come together in the unity of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the love of God just flows out to all of us. We all just, I mean, it's just great. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not griping about this or griping about that or looking at this one and saying, well, this or that, the other. Hey, it's about us loving one another, no matter who we are, what we look like. Loving one another in the love of the Lord. People say all the time, love your brother. Do they really? If I needed help, would they help me? That's a good question to ask. You want the suddenlies? Then let us ask ourselves, why are we doing what we need to do? Many people have said stuff to me, and then I have moved out to help them, and some of them don't even know that I did it. Come on. So many times people, they help somebody and then they want everybody to know it. I love to help people. I love to just pay for people's meals and do different things for different ones. Hello. I don't ever tell all. We do a lot. Lynette and I do a lot of stuff. We don't talk about it. Who cares? I'm not doing it for people. I'm doing it because I'm doing what the Word of God says. The Word of God said, if you have the wherewithal to help somebody, help them. Come on now, don't look at me like that. When's the last time you blessed somebody just to be blessing them? Without them even knowing it. I don't know how many times that I have reached in my pocket and given a handshake to somebody and left money in their hand. They didn't ask for it. But I just felt, I just wanted to bless them. There have been many times that I know there's a need, so I bless them. You see, that we need to learn how to be obedient to what the Word of God has to say if we want the suddenlies to happen in our lives. Y'all there, y'all gone home. Because y'all were shouting pretty good when I was going the other way, but when I start talking about you having to do something, about you getting involved, y'all got awful quiet on me. If we want the suddenlies to happen in our lives, we have to be in obedience to the instructions of God. God wants to move in our life. God wants the demonstration of the power in our church services and in our lives at home. Too many people think that we're having a Holy Ghost meeting if they're shouting. That's not necessarily, and there the Holy Spirit's involved, but that's not necessarily what a Holy Ghost meeting can be, any meeting if you're moving in line with the Holy Spirit. People have got it all because of the emotion. They got it all mixed up. Let me tell you something. When we begin to renew our minds with the Word of God, and then when the crisis comes, the Word of God begins to flow out of our mouth, you can expect the suddenlies to come. But you've got to renew your mind. You've got to have the Word of God up here. Thank God for the Spirit on the inside, but the Word of God tells us to renew our minds. Renew our minds with the Word of God. You have to do something. Hey, the Lord comes and changes the heart. You change the mind. You change the way you're thinking. Right thinking will bring about right results. Wrong thinking will bring wrong results. There's a little book out there my dad put together called Right and Wrong Thinking. You need, if you hadn't read it recently, I know most of you probably read it, but you need to read it again. You know, we need to continually revive ourselves by reading again some of the stuff that we read 5 years ago. You know, I was just with my grandsons on the crusade a couple weeks ago, and both of them were talking about reading from their great grandfather. They've been reading something that, and one of them was saying something that he had said. You see, let me tell you what, that stuff, when it gets in you, it comes out. Renew your mind with the Word. What does the Word say? When you're facing a situation, what does the Word say? When you're facing a situation, Carl, what does the Word say? When you're at work and it don't seem like that the sales are going good, what does the Word say? There you go. God supplies his need. Hey, when you're there on your job or wherever you're at and something is not happening like it should happen, what does the Word say? Come on. If you've been renewing your mind with the Word, then what the Word says comes out. And when you start saying what the Word says, all of a sudden, the suddenlies come in and take care of the situation. You know, there was a fella, he was telling me, oh, it's been years ago now. He was in retail sales and things weren't going good or anything. And all the salesmen have it from, and they were all complaining. And he started saying, well, let me tell you what, I'm going to have the best month I ever had. And they said, look what's going on. I mean, how many cars you sold? He said, that don't make no difference. He said, I'm going to have the best month I ever had. And when it come to the end of the month, he had had the best month he ever had. The rest of the guys hadn't sold nothing. And he had sold all these cars. What was he doing? Well, the suddenness started happening. People coming in and, everybody was there, and he told me, he said, some of those sales, they ain't going to buy nothing. They're just looking. No use to me waste my time. He went over there anyway. He sold them. See, when you got to believe that you can do it before you can. How many understand what I'm trying to say to you? I'm trying to say to you that we have a lot to do with the suddenlies happening in our lives. We have a lot to do with the suddenlies happening in our church house. If we just come into church to see what we can get, that's good. You need to get something. But we really need to enter this building to say, I'm coming to praise the Lord with my brothers and my sisters, and we're going to have a move of God. Don't come looking, come ready to give in every area of your life. Anybody getting anything out of this? Are we really expressing our faith in God's promises, or are we just mouthing words? Come on now. Sometimes we have to realize we're just mouthing words because that's what we're supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to say. No, you say it because it's what you believe is happening. Here's one. Are you faithful in your place where God has got you serving? You want the suddenlies? Oh, now, man, it's really getting quiet in here. Then let me go on here with time for me to close anyway. Are we devoted to serving God and His people? There are a lot of people devoted to serving God, but they're not devoted to serving people. It doesn't matter whether we're minister or whether who we are, we all are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve where we can. Come on. Are you really yielded to God's plan for your life, or are you just trying to, oh, Lord, help me out a little bit here? No, yield to the plan of God. See, too many people want to do it their way and not God's way. Are we walking in love and unity toward one another? Whoa, look at you now. When I said that, people just started. They wouldn't even make eye contact with anybody else. Come on now. You ought to be up here when I'm talking. You can see, you know. When it's really, you know, people are shouting and everything. Boy, when you start making some statements. But it's time that we check up on ourselves. We want the suddenlies of God moving in our lives, but are we doing the things that we need to do in line with God's word in order to get them to be happening in our lives? That's a great question. And only you can answer it. I can't answer it for you. You've got to answer it for yourself. I believe God wants the suddenness to happen in your life, but it's up to us to whether they do or not. Now let's go back to Acts 2. What would have happened if the disciples decided they didn't want to go and wait in Jerusalem? Think about it. They had the choice. And there may have been more people than the 120. That went into the upper room. Isn't that what it says in the upper room? Isn't that what it says in the upper room? But you know, there may have been more people than that when Jesus was there and told them to go wait in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. There may have been some people that didn't go. You can preach messages like this and there will be some people that have heard it but they don't do anything about it. You sitting here, you've heard me preach many times. I'm looking at people that's been in this church for years and years and years, heard me preach many, many sermons, heard other sermons, other pastors preach, heard our visiting ministers preach. Did you just go away and say, man, that was really good? Or did you actually take it to heart and start doing something about it? You want the suddenlies? That's what you got to do. Sometimes God may want to move suddenly in your life, but he can't because you haven't been doing the things necessary for the suddenly to happen. That's something to think about. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. I minister to these people today as you have instructed. I gave to them what you gave to me. And Father, may we all look at this very seriously today. And may we get ready. And may we begin to do what is necessary for the suddenlies of this last day revival to begin to be manifested and demonstrated in our midst. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. How many would say, I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward or nothing, but you would say with an upraised hand, Pastor, you've really got me thinking today. And I want to go on record. I want to be a part of the last day revival with the suddenlies of the demonstration of the power of God happening. Let me see your hand. Thank you. That was about half of the crowd. Praise the Lord. If you're in this place today, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to. If you know what it is, but you know you're not where you need to be and you need to rededicate your life, I want you to do that today too. If you're in this place and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about what I just read there in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak. The tongues of Spirit gave them utterance. And you said, I want that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Salvation, rededication, hope, infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, everywhere. Let me see your hand. I want to minister to you today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking across the room right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hand in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any others? Any other hands want to be raised right now? Thank you. There was another one up top, I think, in the balcony. Are the others? Everybody stand, please. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm on down front. I want you to come down there. I said I wanted to pray with you and for you. I can't do that unless you get here. I want to ask you to come down up in the balcony. The ushers, I help you get down and get down here. If you're downstairs, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to come on down here right now. God's going to change your life today. Your life is going to be changed today. Come on. I'm waiting on you. If you're in the balcony, God's going to help you get down here. Come on.
I give to you.
Everybody, if you raise your hand, should have raised your hand. Come on right now. Come on right over here right now. Come on. Raise your hand. And should have raised your hand. Come on right now. Come on right now. Just stand right here. God bless you. Come on now. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Anybody else want to come? This is your hour. This is your time to change your life forever. You'll never be the same again after today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? This is your time. Come on now. That's a long walk, but it's well worth it, man. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Tom. You guys are standing here looking at me. Here's a book called New Birth, White Tongues, in Him. If I said I'm going to give it to you and I reach them out there like that, what you got to do to get them? You got them. They're yours. Same, y'all get them same books in just a minute. That's just the exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing you come for. It comes from heaven on high. I want you to raise one hand toward heaven just like this. I don't care which one. Congregation, reach your hands out toward them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their lives will be met today. Salvation, rededication, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. I want you to go with Greg here to a special place of prayer where people are waiting there to pray with you and pray for you and make sure you got what you came after. Oh, would you just go there and y'all get those books there too? Would you just turn and follow Greg right now, right there? Would y'all just turn and follow him? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I trust you got something out of what I had to say today. I trust it. It made sense. But I was just delivering as the Lord gave it to me. I was just trying to deliver it the best way I knew how. But we all need to get stirred up. Stirred up for the moving of the Holy Spirit. You see, shouting is great, but that doesn't demonstrate that it was a move of the Holy Spirit. We didn't have no shouting yet. And I like shouting. But we've got to get the idea out of our head that we have to have shouting and running for it to be the Holy Spirit. Hello? I don't mind it. I mean, I think it's good. It's sort of, it's refreshing. I've been in services where it's quiet. Nobody's saying anything. The kids are not even making any noise. That's the Holy Spirit too. That's a Holy Spirit service too. We got to learn to realize that God demonstrates himself in different ways and not just be looking all the time for the shout and the dance, but be looking for the move of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You got anything, Dan?
Move, Spirit, move. And do what you want to do. We offer ourselves, vessels you can use.
If you really meant that, just dedicate yourself to that. Everybody pray your own prayer. Father, we dedicate ourselves to be that vessel. Move in our through us. Move in our midst. Thank you, Father. Just pray in the spirit for a minute. Handulo moko shabata na shite le mese. Tungulo bodi yasata tata kasata. Lamboro moko shabata na na. God speaking to hearts. Oh, kulo mashile mashete. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the moving of the Spirit of God. Speak. Thank you, Jesus. God's talking to people in this place, but as I was there, I don't know, I guess you call it, my dad used to call it like a mini vision or what. I saw a cloud, and it was coming and it was moving over people. And he said, that's the cloud of the last day revival coming. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready, Hapakana. I am going moving by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is the time. This is the hour. And I am moving. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the move. Get ready. Get ready for the move. That's what I keep hearing in my spirit. Get ready. Get ready for the move. Apakishini mana. Norobosi bidi bata katalana makasanda. Yes. It's going to take everybody. It's going to take everybody getting ready for the move of the Spirit and letting the power of God be demonstrated in you wherever you're at. Akapashana. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is trying to get through to us. The message that Craig preached last Sunday, this message here, some other messages that have been coming forth, some things that they've been praying out in revive. God is getting us ready. Hallelujah. Prepare yourself. This is the last days. It's been talked about, and it's been talked about. But now the last days are upon us. Now get yourself ready to be there when the Spirit of God is moving so that you will be in your place at the right time, at the right place for the move of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. God is so good. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I don't know whether you realize or not, but the Spirit of God was in this place today. Hallelujah, in a great way.